Hey, everybody, it's Mary Lou Tyler. This week's guest, I have been following Phil forever, and I'm so excited that he's on the show. And he's just so wonderful in all things sales that I really didn't even know where to pick. So with his permission, we're going to talk about one of his books, actually maybe two. He has two great books out there. You guys need to go to Amazon right now and pick them up. First one is Exactly What to Say, and the second one is Exactly How to Sell. Now, those are two of many books that he's done. So he is just an incredible speaker. He's delivered, I think, 2,000 presentations in 50 countries across 5 continents. And he is just amazing. Lots of videos out on YouTube to give you really actionable advice. The list goes on. So I'll put his information in the show notes. But for right now, let's get to business. So welcome, Phil, to the podcast.
Thank you for having me. And an introduction like that, you're making me blush already. It's lucky this isn't on camera.
Well, as I told you when we were offline, I grabbed your Magic Words ebook that's out on the internet. So if you folks go find that, I'll put it in the show notes too, so you can sign up for his newsletter. But we started testing some of the magic phrases that you put in the Magic Words ebook in our cold stream. And in some cases, Phil, we have tripled our response rates. Wow. So I'm just like beyond excited to be able to talk to you today.
That's what we like, right? It's all for the purpose of success and change and making things easier for people.
Definitely. So let's get started by talking about my audience, which is top of funnel. We are sales executives. We're also marketers and business developers who's really chartered with trying to get that foot in the door, get a cold conversation started, get to the first meeting, and also to follow up on people who've come inbound or through referral sources where we're doing those follow-on conversations. So, you know, I'd like you to help our audience understand, you know, what challenges that they can overcome, how they go about doing that. And I think the Exactly What to Say book is the one that we should focus on for this podcast. So could you start by telling us, you know, what caused you to write that book? And what are you still seeing today, and how do we fix it for our folks?
Yeah, sure. I think one of the biggest things that we must first think is when is the worst time to think about the thing you're going to say? Right, it's like right there in the moment. And what often happens is in particular when we're finding ourselves needing to make an outbound call in the form of follow-up or in response to some form of inquiry, we think, I got a call. And we jump into that call, and we don't really know where to start. We don't really know where we're looking to go. We don't really have a planned call track. So people either will fall back onto scripts or they find themselves just cobbling something together, which is typically the norm. I said a second ago, the worst time to think about the thing you're going to say is in the moment when you're saying it. And the reason I say that to be true is that what I've learned from training over 2 million professionals around the world is that often the difference between you and people like you isn't your skill, your endeavor, your pricing, your product, or any of those key factors that people put so much emphasis on. It is that when the rubber hits the road, that you know exactly what to say, when to say it, and how to make it count. It's those word choices that are remarkably important. Yet the conversations we find ourselves in the world of business are remarkably repetitive. And I've learned that actually there are certain trigger words, there are certain sequences of words that talk straight to the subconscious mind that allow us to have more control in our conversations. And that's what we're looking to try and achieve through Exactly What to Say, is to give people the power, the principles, and the philosophies behind why certain words work, so that we can do something that feels like us but drives true results.
And you came up with a number of different phrases. Is this all through trial and error? Because you said you work with, you know, what was it, a million, something like that, people?
Over 2 million people I've trained in one.
2 million people. So you have a really good data set and a really good, probably scientific, okay, this really works, people, and this is where we use it. So, you know, is that what happened? Is that you started working these phrases and testing them with your clients to develop the list? Or is it just that as you start having conversations, you recognize there are certain phrases that you said are repeatable?
Yeah.
You know, what made this book? This book is just incredible, by the way. and, you know, so what made this book actually stand out with those phrases? I mean, how did we come up with those phrases?
There's a lot that goes into this. And to produce a book that you can read cover to cover in 60 minutes that is crammed with so much content, there isn't one viable source. I've been in business for over 20 years. I've been involved in the art of negotiation for that same time period. And I found myself in literally millions of conversations toe-to-toe with other people looking to influence the outcome in one way or another. Mm-hmm. The commonality I found in both the conversations I was having personally and the conversations that was happening in the people I was witnessing, coaching, training, supporting, leading, was the words really did matter. And this made me super pedantic about this, because what I was being asked to do in some of my early careers was help influence the outcomes of success through the world of sales. Mm-hmm. What everybody else was doing was saying, try harder, try harder, try harder, speak to more people, speak to more people, speak to more people. And I was thinking, well, instead of counting conversations, wouldn't it make more sense that we could make more of our conversations count? Because we do all get to a point where there is a finite amount of resource. Let's look to see what we can do to have more influence over those conversations. And I would reverse engineer both the success of my own conversations and the success of those that I was seeing. And I would find the commonalities and the traits in language that would allow us to have both more competence and more confidence in each of those conversations. And those two things combined would lead to more success.
Now, this is something that, as I mentioned earlier, we took some of the phrases from your document and applied them in an email setting. But this perfectly works in all types of conversation, whether it's direct mail, postcards, which is on the uptick now for us for response rates, whether you're doing a voicemail, leaving a voicemail, or having a physical conversation remotely or face-to-face, correct?
It does. Much of the premise of where the book came from is led in from the art of conversation. Okay. And I think we're all looking to be more conversational. We can be conversational in all of those mediums that you played out. Mm-hmm. I think something that everybody should also consider, though, is that what we're looking to do is to steer or control a conversation. The person who's in control of every conversation is the person who's asking the questions, not the person who's giving the answers. Correct. And what also is true is that a question will lead to a conversation. Conversation leads to a relationship. A relationship creates an opportunity, and only that opportunity creates a sale. People are often looking to be able to get straight from the beginning of that queue to the end of that queue. What we can't do, though, is we can't skip any steps. We have to know that questions create conversations. Conversations build relationships. Relationships create opportunities, and opportunities lead to sales. So the words in exactly what to say are designed with the purpose of saying, how do we open more doors? How do we then look to be able to explore what those possibilities are? How do we then look to be able to say we can assist people through their decision-making process? And what do we do when people say maybe? There really is that simplicity attached to it. And I think when we break down what we're looking to try and achieve and think about what the outcome is from what we're speaking about first, we can have more influence in those conversations. So let's bring it back to how we go through in a follow-up phone call. People often find themselves thinking, well, what am I trying to achieve here? So give me some scenarios or some setups as to what might be normal in your world. Somebody receives an inquiry through a web form. What are they looking to try and achieve from that outbound conversation on from there?
Okay. Well, we have two scenarios there. One is they have come inbound. Let's pretend we're doing a service, as a lot of my clients are selling services. Products is another obviously area, but let's do services. So they fill out a form, they're interested in a service, they contact us form, they tell them what they want, and it's very minimal. So we basically have the name of the company, the person who filled out the form, they gave us a high level of what they're interested in, and then it goes into our queues for us to follow up within a prescribed amount of time, depending on the size of clients. So we look to see what the account tier looks like. Is it a complex sale? Or is it a transactional sale? So let's pretend it's a complex sale. They came inbound. And now my job is to follow up to find out whether or not they'd be a good fit for us with the goal of getting to a discovery call so that we can see if it's worth our time, their time, to take it to opportunity.
Okay. So goal is typically a discovery call if the fit is right.
Yep.
And what I'd like to better do, certainly from my point of view, is to ban the words follow up just for the purpose of the next part of this conversation. Because it suggests that what there is a finite activity with a start point and an end point. Yeah, what we're looking to have is a continuous conversation. Okay. So for the purpose of right now, let's think about what we need to do is we need to respond. What they've done is they've started a conversation. Our responsibility here is to respond in some way. Our goal is to control a conversation to the purpose of discovering if there is a genuine opportunity. And if so, can we move it towards a more purposeful conversation? Have I got that part right?
That's exactly right.
Well, let's first lift a formula that comes from my book, Exactly How to Sell, to be able to give us a application into any one of these types of phone calls. And okay. a simple formula is an opening formula to start any conversation quickly and precisely and maintain control. And it's to start with a polite opening, follow it with a mutually agreeable fact, and then follow that with a question. So a three-part formula. Opening, a fact, a question. So the opening would run something like, hi, it's Phil calling from, right? Insert name of company. Mm-hmm. The fact may well be, you were on our website just yesterday, and I see that you have some interest in. Boom.
Right.
So there's the mutually agreeable fact, right, that creates the evidence for us to be able to make a recommendation on. Mm-hmm. We now need a question that can then follow that, that gets us into the purpose of, you know, what was it that prompted you to think that we might be the right kind of people to help you with this? So we're straight into the meat of the meeting. It's not, yes. is now a good time to talk, which is the stupidest thing anybody can ever say in 2018 and onwards. Because if it's not a good time to talk, what do we do in today's day and age?
We just basically don't respond, don't answer, don't do anything. No, swipe left.
Right. But because we know that now, right? Well, is now right. a good time to talk is a prehistoric set of words that when people had house phones and they didn't know who was calling, or people had office phones and they didn't know who was calling, and when the phone rang, it was because it was an impending emergency or something super important. We're trained differently right now. So the question should never be, is now a good time to talk? But what we would might like to have is an opening fact question that gets us straight into the heart of the conversation. Mm-hmm. It may well be that if somebody's downloaded a white paper, a report, or a PDF from your website, opening could be, hi, it's Phil calling from insert company. Fact could be, I could see that you're on our website just yesterday looking to download a ebook on, a paper on, a report on. I just wanted to check, did it download okay? Mm-hmm. Yeah, downloaded fine. Now, I'm guessing you didn't get around to reading it properly yet, but was wondering what was it that brought you to our website in the first place? Zip it. And now we're into a meaningful conversation where the other person does all the work. Instead, mm-hmm. what often happens is we respond to these calls and then we vomit our features and benefits all over the other person, hoping they're going to like what we have to say. Right. And what we must first understand is what selling really is. And selling is earning the right to make a recommendation. I'll repeat that, it's earning the right to make a recommendation. And what that means is that we should never, ever, 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 ever invite somebody to buy, step, move forward with any of our recommendations unless we can say these facts first. We should be able to say it's because of the fact that you said X, Y, and Z. For those reasons, what I recommend is A, B, and C. Mm-hmm. So in a scenario like this, we might be saying, for example, it's because of the fact that you said that you're serious about making a lasting change with your people, and that you're committed to be able to work with a trusted provider, and that you want to be able to get on with this in the next couple of months, is for those reasons what I recommend is that the best place we start is with a 90-minute discovery call where we can uncover the heart of the issue and ensure that the recommendations that we make are solid, purposeful, and meaningful.
It sounds so fluid. I love it.
But why does it sound so fluid? Because what we have is we have anchors and we have structures. We know right. that the worst time to think about the thing you're going to say is in the moment of saying it. And we know that what is going to happen here is that more of our conversations are repetitive than they are different. Mm-hmm. In the written word, almost every individual in business has dozens of Word documents or copy-paste versions of things that they rely on regularly, where all they do is they customize as required on a per-client or a per-account basis.
Yep, we call those swipe files.
We don't have so many swipe files in our spoken word, yet we should do. People are scared of them, you see, because they think they're scripts. People are scared of scripts because they think they're going to sound canned or they're going to sound like somebody else.
You know, I love scripts. I love them because we start with words that we practice, and then it goes to bullets, and then it goes to our DNA. So I am a big fan of starting with mapping out the conversation, and what you've given us is a framework to do that. And this isn't exactly how to sell, correct?
That framework there isn't exactly how to sell. And what to say is subtle nuances of words that can lead us into more powerful conversations. So we could actually lift some words from exactly what to say that would allow us to have more meaningful conversations leading towards this discovery call. You know, mm-hmm. how open-minded would you be to spending 90 minutes on the phone for us to discover further how we might be able to work together?
Or would it be okay if, I love, we tried that phrase and it was just, gold for us. It really was. And it's so funny that you said that about, you know, did I catch you at a bad time? Because in my previous book, Unpredictable Revenue, we talked about doing that. But that was 2011. This is now 2018. So it worked then, but not now. So you have to continually optimize and upgrade the nuances of conversation as we move further and further into more technology. That's for sure.
The principle doesn't change, though. The principle is permission. That's what we're looking to be able to lean towards is, are we okay to have the next part of this conversation? And the quicker you can get to a position of permission and being on the same page, the more productive a conversation you can have. And that requires a framework. Is now a good time to talk? Used to be a successful framework that led toward permission. But it's now a lazy route. What we should be able to do is to say, look, I get you. And that's what happens here if you use opening fact question, is very quickly you can set up the framework here with permission that gets the other person to say, yeah, that's me. You know me. You know what this is about. This is now not pushy. This is a purposeful conversation about something I registered an interest in.
Right, right. So just like the follow-up phrase is banned, another phrase that we should ban is just checking in.
Oh, man, I hate it. I hate it. Even when a friend says it to you, what do you say back to that? You say, you know, I'm fine, I'm good, thanks for asking. It's like an insincere, it's a waste of words. We shouldn't even talk about it, like just checking in.
I always wanted to build a list of, you know, words that you should never, ever, ever use. And that's definitely high up on that list. And I see it all the time still in emails, so all the time.
And here's how we can stop ourselves needing to have a I'm just checking in phone call. And it's never hanging up a phone call without having to schedule next action.
Yes.
If we know what we are waiting for, what we can do is then we can call them and ask them about the thing that we were waiting on. You know, if somebody says, for example, you know, I'm really interested in what you're about and I think that we'd be able to work together, but I have this crazy project going on right now that's taking most of my time and attention that I'm really excited about getting finished and we should have it done in June. And you say, well, would it be okay if I drop you a call towards the end of June, finding out things are going and seeing what we might be able to do next? And they say, yeah, sure. And you say, well, is there a day of the week that works best for you? And they say, Thursdays are good for me. And you say, morning or afternoon, when's good? They say, well, mornings are probably better. So I say, if I call you maybe 8:30 a.m. on the last Monday of June, would that work for you? And they say, that sounds great.
Yeah.
So what I can now do is I can start that phone call differently. I can start it with the words, not is now a good time to talk. I can start it with the words, I'm just phoning as promised.
Mm-hmm.
To which they now can only say thank you back. When they say thank you back, it means they feel indebted, which is a great way to start a phone call when you might want something with somebody.
Yes.
And what now happens, I'll just kind of run this through further, is what now happens is we can start with, I'm just calling as promised. We can get the thank you as the check back in terms of permission. And I can then ask the question directly, is how do things work out with the project? And then I can shut up and listen. Mm-hmm. What I can then do is again use a fact and a question. Last time we spoke in April, we talked about the fact that when we get to the end of the June and their project's out of the way, that we might be ready to get started and work together. Is that still the case?
Fabulous. So if we go back to that opening formula that you gave us of a polite open, a fact and a question. Let's look at now in our remaining minutes, how we would open a call for someone who did not sign up on our website, who did not request that we contact them, but would be delighted to hear from us because we have something great to share with them. So how would we open up that cold? I hate to use the word cold, but it's that kind of conversation where it's the first time.
You say they would be delighted. Let's rephrase that to they may be delighted. They might not.
Okay.
Right. Hello, let's understand that could be true. But you're making a phone call to a stranger.
Yes.
First thing, what I would understand in that is, what can I do to make this person feel less like a stranger? In my book, Exactly How to Sell, we talk about how to build prospect lists utilizing your friends. I create an acronym out of the word friends, and I create a way that we can create an opening into just about any type of person with a purpose to that phone call that isn't, I'd like to sell you my thing, which is that step in the door. And think about how that plays out in our real world. Whenever you've said to somebody, maybe as a potential future partner in the dating world, and you've said, let's meet for coffee, it wasn't the coffee you were interested in. The same thing is true often when we're opening a phone call to a cold prospect. We have to get a place to start, a toe in the water, a coffee with that individual that then allows us to be able to uncover whether there is truly a fit. Correct. So we're going to still use an opening of fact and a question. The opening is probably going to be the same opening. Can you give me an example of what the type of company is that we might be looking to make a phone call towards? And I'll give a precise or an exact route in.
Let's do that. I know that most of my audience is probably technical sales. So let's do that. We're calling into the technical director of a company, and he doesn't know who we are and doesn't know what we do. And where our goal is to be able to build the awareness, introduce this thing that he may want to consider at some point, but he's probably in that unaware state. And he doesn't even necessarily know he has a problem, but it's that technical interface that we're trying to get in to have that, are we a fit meeting, first meeting.
Okay. So what I would be looking to be able to do is, firstly, polite opening. Hi, my name's Phil. The fact may well be is my understanding is that you are one of the senior leaders at this organization responsible for X, Y, and Z. There's my fact.
Mm-hmm.
And what I was hoping is that I was hoping that I might be able to bounce a couple of ideas off you because I would really value your opinion.
That's very good. Flattery, a little bit of flattery in there about valuing opinions.
And I've also said I know you, right? I've also said right. I know what you're about. I could also play this out in another way. I could say, hi, my name's Phil. We've been having a lot of success within the technical sales arena, helping companies like boom, boom, boom to achieve boom, boom, boom. I just wanted to check in with you today to see if, and this is an example where I might use check-in, to see if you had any levels of interest in improving boom, boom, boom.
Right. So working on your value prop and getting just the results out there so that they can start thinking, okay, wait a minute, this sounds kind of interesting.
But I might want to do. The difference here is posture.
Right.
What I'm doing is I'm approaching this from the get-go with curiosity laced through everything that I'm putting out there. I'm not saying, hi, this is us as a company. I want to tell you about the fact that we're so awesome and that our product is being able to be able to do this, this, and this, and you really need to take advantage of it because I know that we can do massive things within your company, yada, yada, yada. What I'm saying is, this is me. This is what I know about you.
Right.
Is this true?
Yep. Love it.
And what we now get is to a position of permission. They might say, well, no, as it happens, we're not interested in growth right now. And our existing systems were built by one of our lead architects that was, in fact, one of the founders of the company. And we have no considerations of working with any external providers. You go, okay.
Yep. You know the result of that call. You're able to file it properly because you've learned something new. It's a meaningful conversation. Those count in our world.
Right. And we all leave with posture. Nobody, I mean, here's an image that I want everybody to just picture in their mind of what you never want to be. You never want to be that turtle lay on their back with all four limbs up in the air, wiggling around. And that's what I hear when I listen to lots of sales calls, when I work within organizations and I help them develop the phraseology and I help them develop better questions, is when I've listened back to calls, I hear this desperate begging plea saying, please pick me, please pick me, please pick me. And they say, no, thank you. And they say, yeah, go on, please, really, really, please. and it's awful to be on the receiving end of, and it's even worse to try and do the reviews and analysis of.
And I think a lot of it stems from the fact that we don't really practice and hone in and just get out there and study this stuff so that we have a fluid delivery. A lot of it is knee-jerk reaction, no planning, and hoping, that word hope sprinkles throughout, that someone will just say yes so that you can just get them to the next step without having to do any type of rhythmic approach with them.
And practice this stuff in a safe environment. This would be my challenge to everybody. Don't wait till it's the most important phone call for you to make. You know, when you're dialing zero at a hotel because what you want is you want something to be delivered to your room. Use opening fact questions, see how it plays out. When you've got a situation to call a service provider in your life, and what you're looking to be able to do is to get somebody to help you with your internet, or that you're looking to make a restaurant reservation, like use opening fact questions to be able to lean into that call. When you're looking to be able to shop around for multiple quotes because of the fact that you're looking for some home improvements, use opening fact questions to get you into the conversation quicker and easier. And you can practice these things in so many different areas of life as an opening. That gets you into more meaningful conversations, that is delivered with more permission, it means you spend more time making more of your conversations count.
Wonderful. Well, Phil, you've been so generous with us, and you've also been generous with our audience. If for those of you who want to follow Phil, Phil M. Jones is his website. I'll put everything in the show notes, as I said. But you also have a YouTube channel. My students, I had them look at all your YouTube videos where you take each of these constructs, break them down, and teach people how to use them. Then there's the books. What else can we tell the audience of how they can get a hold of you?
Well, what they'll be able to find more so from building off my website is a couple of other things, is that I do have an app with some podcasts on it that people can plug into with some simple bite-sized lessons in it. But more than that is come join the conversation. If there's something you like about the thing that we talked about today, or you picked up my book or listened to an audio book and you've tried something that's worked and you want to let me know, then come find me on social media. Come shoot me a note on LinkedIn. Come talk to me on Twitter or any of those platforms that are most preferable to you. And know that I know that questions lead to conversations, conversations build relationships, relationships create opportunities, and opportunities lead to sales. We might better do some business together someday.
Yeah, so that framework again, I think, let me see if I can repeat it. Questions lead to conversations, conversations lead to relationships, relationships lead to opportunities, and opportunities lead to sales.
Boom, boom, there we go, nicely done.
Thanks again, Phil. I really enjoyed our time together.
Thank you so much for having me, and thank you for listening.